Okay, so last week we read through the first perek of Yoel and the prediction of the swarming locusts. We noted at the time from Rabbi Angel, based on Rabbi Carmi, right, that no sin is mentioned, and his theory that basically Yoel is a proto-rabbi in that sense, that he is he belongs to the tradition here of focusing on how we respond to suffering rather, and use it as a spur to tshuva, even if we don't know exactly what's going on or why it's happening. Another major question, again, we haven't read Perek Bet yet, but Perek Bet also deals with this plague of locusts. Now, the majority of the Mefarshim seem to assume that these are actual locusts. Many of the Mefarshim assume that these are actual locusts and don't indicate anything to the contrary throughout their Peresh, and therefore we are really predicting some sort of famine, and we talked about the problems with dating. However, you are correct that at least some believe that, no, we're not talking about locusts, we're talking about swarming enemies. And therefore, the four different types of locusts are really a mashal for four different kingdoms. So, for example, if you look in Pasuk Dalid in Rabbi Eliezer of Balagensi, you're all like, what is that? So Rabbi Eliezer of Balagensi is one of these Pashtanim, maybe even a radical Pashtan. So he writes the following Pasuk Dalid. He is included on the Al HaTorah Mikrod Gedolot. He's in the Keter one also. He says, Yeter HaGazam, Arba Minei Chagav Monekan, four types of locust are mentioned here. Rem is l'arba malchiot. There's a hint to the four kingdoms. Shekulam ba'u b'zachar zeh, ma'ashe yishayir zeh, shayir zeh, kala zeh. Because they come one after the other, and whatever this one leaves, the next one destroys. V'chozer l'faresh achilatam v'chilyonam. So why do we go back and explain in detail how they're going to eat? Derech mashal. It's a parable. K'derech she'etchil b'minei chagav she'ochlim pri'aretz. Just like we talk about the locust that eat. Now, most of the Mefarshim don't seem to believe this, right? Because they assume that we're talking about a Rav, right? Like a natural Rav. So, the Rikara. Well, we're talking about Ali Oto Rav, Shaya Sheva Shadim, Varim Zeber Malachim. Remember, he thinks that the one in Malachim, and there wasn't food, and there was no war. I mean, there were wars, but that's not why they didn't have food. They didn't have food because there was a famine. And therefore, many of them, Farshim, get into the details, nitty gritty, of what exactly are the difference between these four types of locusts that are mentioned, right? Because it's Yeter Agazam Achal Arbev, Yeter Arbe Achal Ayelek, Yeter Ayelek Achal Achasil. Right now, why would you say that? What would lead you to the direction of the Rimi Balagensi, right? Why would you say, like the Ri of Balagensi, that it is not literal? So that goes back to Pasuk Vav, right? Which is, what does Pasuk Vav say? Ki goy ala al arzi atzum vein mispar shinav shine aryeh umitalot lavilo. For a nation has invaded my land, vast beyond counting, with teeth like the teeth of a lion and the fangs of a lion's breed. So what you quickly realize is that one of these two, either description of the locusts, has to be a mashal for people, right, for armies, in which case Pasuk Vav, which talks about invading armies, is the pshat, or you got to flip it. And you have to say that the pshat is that it is arbeh, that it's a type of locusts, And they then, and then there's a mashal that like an army. So Rashi, for example, says explicitly, "Hagovayazek pasuk vav, hagovayazek kinao kitzava goy." Right, hagovayazek kinao. Right, he named these locusts as a host of nations. Right, the rikara asifet arbe kari goy. Right, a gathering of locusts is called a nation. Ibn Ezra,
a nation of locusts.
Right, look, just in case this was unclear to you. Ibn Ezra, Kigoya Lal Artsi, Zeha Arbe.
No.
Right? Now, at the opposite extreme, what does the Rimi Balagensi say? What do you think he's going to say here? Hamilitzahi, the meaning of the Mashal, is Pasuk Vav. Kigoya Lal Artsi, Shinav Shariye, Lashchid Ed Adam. Right? But like I said, the majority of Mefarshim don't say this, because if I just keep going, Radak. Kol kibbutz minachai nikra yikra goy. Any gathering of live animals is called a nation.
I guess the Abarba now says that it was a nation and one of the Nach types that we had when I was reading it.
So the Abarbanel also does, correct. So the Abarbanel, so what you have is Rashi, Rikara, Ibn Ezra, Radak on one side. Rima Al-Gensi, Abarbanel as well. You're right, and Pasuk Vav says, Kigoy Alal Artsi Atzum Ratzolom Bikocho, Ve'ein Mispari Rav Shinav Shnei Aryeh Umi Talot Lavilo Shu Kolo Remez Likocho Ve'atzmo. Right, this is all a reference to his strength. Ve'lo Amar Navi Zebe Emet Al Arbeh. This is not about locusts. Ki Eichikru Goy Ukal Goyim. Because how could you call them a nation? Well, Amru Al Oivim Sha'alu Al Aretz Lahashchita. Now again, this is going to come back to the question of when is this time period and what are we talking about? But yes, so you basically have two. I think the majority of the Mefarshim assume, it seems to me, that this is literally Arpa. But Rimi Al-Gansi and the Barbanel, you're right, both think that no. And all it comes down to is, again, what you have to realize is that it sometimes calls them locusts, it sometimes calls them a goy, and you have to choose which of those is the Mashal and which is the Nimshal.
The end of Yol's like about the Gula, right?
We're not there yet.
If that's what it was.
Not there yet. Like, you're right. This will connect partially to how you view the later Prakim. You're right. And a lot of it is going to come down to how much you think these are connected, because later on it's going to talk about Gula, and it does come down to how you view the connection between the former part of the book and the latter half of the book. You are correct. Yeah. So if you look, I mean, if you go to, like, you'll see there's a little summary on hatanach.com on this, right, where they note, yes, you have to divide the Mefarshim between those who view this as a mashal, Abarbanel, those who say it is literal, like Ibn Ezra, Radak. Now, definitely if you think that it is literal, so then you need to figure out what are these four different species and why are we talking about them, right? If it's metaphorical, you still might want to try to figure out what the difference is between these.
Yeah, what the are.
Correct. Now, I could go through what this is, right? He suggests that according to one scholar, the Arbe is Schistocera gregaria. Yelek is Locusta migratoria. Chasil is Dokiostorus marocanus. I have no idea what I'm reading. Okay? I literally have no idea.
Are you just guessing? Like,
what?
Did you get that
from? No, I don't know.
What's the point of mentioning all different four types?
So I don't really know, but what many Mefarsh, the modern commentaries assume is, whether it's a mashal or it's literal, the simple shot is that whatever you know about them, these are different stages of development, and therefore the bigger they are, the worse it is. So it's just saying it's going to get worse. That's basically what it is. It's going to get bad or worse. I'm willing to sort of leave it at that, because all of this means nothing to me. Locust, God knows what, I don't know. You could throw me 20 and they would look the same to me. I don't know. It's not my expertise.
Except for the kosher one.
What?
Except for the kosher one.
I don't know if I could tell the difference. I would ask a Teimani who has a Masara. Okay, fine. So let us, why don't we continue a little bit, because as we'll see, right, Perek Bet continues it, but now that we have, right, both the major machloket, whether this is metaphorical or literal, as well as the insight from right, Angel based on Rai Karmi, right, that the whole point here is that this is proto-rabbinic, that it doesn't tell you the specific sin, but right, you have a tragedy and you're supposed to respond to it. We should at least read the second perek, where we continue to the response, right? Because I had read the single pasuk before, right? But again, Chazal in the Mishnah and Tanit, and this is his source, the Mishnah and Tanit, which tells us how to respond to different troubles, rain, and whatever. The pesukim they quote is here. In Yoel, that's part of it, right? Is that's why he calls it proto-rabbinic, right? Is that the rabbis, when they're looking for a source, they pick Yoel because Yoel tells you how to respond without telling you that you know what the sin is. He's just telling you how to do tshuva in general, how to respond to tragedy. So when you go to Perek Bet, this is what you get. Pasuk Aleph, Tiku shofar b'tzion, v'ariyu b'har kochi, yirgazu kol yishva'aretz, kiva yom adonai ki karov, right? Blow the trumpet, sound the alarm, let everyone come for the day of God comes, and Yom Hashem is always bad and nafi, right? For it is close. And what is the role of the shofar?
To awaken people.
Very good, right? The Rikara says, La so trisha v'chakira. Right. As we know, right, it makes people do tshuva. Rima Galagensi, though, on the other hand, says, remember, he thinks it's war. Lachridam, right? To get people afraid, right? Meaning war, right? Maybe also tshuva, but afraid, right? Fear. And the Malbim, interestingly, says, Kedin matrim alatzarot. Like those things that you blow shofar for, right? Gemara and the Mishnah and Tainit says some things you fast for and some things you blow the shofar for. Now, he says Kedin as if it's a previous halacha. The point is, this is for Chazal the source. Now, could be it's a previously establishing, but Yoel is the one who codifies it as far as Chazal are concerned. But he said that the Tekiah, the Malbim suggests that the Kiyah is not directly to get them to do tshuva, but it's to gather them to do tshuva. And that's why you blow Bitzion. And he says the shofar blowing does get them to do tshuva, but not the Kiyah, the Truva. He's being very medayik here, Kedarko Bakodesh, because remember, he thinks that every word has to mean something different. He doesn't look for poetry. And therefore, he says, yeah, the Kiyah gathers them. The Truva is what actually strikes the fear in their heart. You know, interesting, the whole Moshe here just says, Yechdulumi bitchonam minuchotam. Right? I mean, the point is just to shake them out of their comfort. Right? I mean, and again, this goes with this idea that it's not necessarily, the first thing you just got to do is, shake them up. Now, the Abarbanel obviously builds on this because he thinks that this is talking about the future and the four kingdoms, right? And therefore, he says that at some level, this is... Yeah, so he compares it more to Yovel, the blow which brings you back to the land, right? It allows everyone to turn to their homeland and therefore reads this more in a Geula context, right? Which is a totally... A different perspective. Okay, pasuk bet. Yom choshech v'afela, yom anan v'arafel, kishachar parus ale arim, amrav v'atzum kamolon yamin ha'olam v'acharav l'yosef ad shnei dor v'ador. A day of darkness and gloominess, clouds and thick darkness as the dawn surrounding the mountains, right? It's never been like this, right? Forever. Now, again, the pshat is that, like in this week's parsha, right, the Arba cover the sun. Right, they cover the sun, which we talked about, was it this morning or yesterday morning, right? The theology of that, right? The idea that, right? And Rashi himself actually says, right, connects it. And he says, now what's the problem? You connect it to Mitzrayim, it creates a problem, because what does it say in Shmot, Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud-Daled? It would never happen again like this. It would never be this bad. And what does he all say?
It's never
been like this. So Rashi says, oh.
They're equal.
No. In Mitzrayim, it was the worst attack of a single species. And this is the attack of four species, so they're bad in different ways.
What is, according to, like, the...
And Recaris is the same thing.
According to, like, the Barbanel and people say it's, like...
By the way, Recaris is the same thing. Ibn Ezra says the same thing. Right, for Rimi Balagensi and Abarbanel is not a problem. The point is that you're going to have so many enemies.
But according to the Abarbanel, what does Achnei Dorvador mean?
Let me look. Abarbanel says, so the darkness for him is the Chorban Abayit, right? Anan Varafel is Chorban Abayit Rishon. Yeah, basically he just says the Churban of Titus and Nebuchadnezzar was like the longest galut they'd ever seen, right? Because it was hundreds of years and they'd never seen anything like that. That's what he's going to say, right? Meaning he doesn't...
It's not going to happen again until, like, two generations. Well,
what? No, because that's different. It's a lesser galut. Well, I don't know. Anyways, so then he says, Lefanav ochla esh v'acharav telahe lehava kigan eden ha'aretz lefanav acharav midbar shmama gam pleita lo haita lo. Right, it's like a fire coming out in front of them. It's Gan Eden before them, and by the end, it's desolate. Right? It's a beautiful image, right? The point is, right? Yeah, whether you think this is the locust devouring what was the Garden of Eden and leaving destroyed, you think it's the enemies, it's a powerful image, whether you want it. And of course, the Barbel Gedark Bakodesh writes a lot on every pasuk, right? And he says, yeah, it's about the Babylonians, right? Burning it down, right? They literally burnt down the land, right? They had a scorched earth policy. And then when he says, Vigam Pleita Lo Haita Lo, what does it mean? There's nothing left. So for him, reading it in this, you know, future oriented, is that they left Gedalia. And then Gedalia got killed, so there was mamish nothing left, right? So, right, he reads, okay. Kimaresu thim mar'e ugarashim gerin yuritsu, and they're like horses. And as horsemen, they run. Again, I don't have to explain to you how this can work out. Except for the Barbanel, right? Where of course he, again, everyone else here is like one line because you got it. There's two ways of interpreting, right? Right. And now he says, right now he moves to the Yevanim. Right. And basically they're unique, uniquely fast chariots. Okay. Kikol markavot al rashi ha'arim yarekidun kikol lav eish ochla kash gam atzum eruch melchama, like the noise of chariots on top of the mountains, they leap like the noise of a flame of fire that devours the stubble, as a strong people said in battle array.
Did you say they're going to be loud?
Yes, they're going to be very, very loud. Very, very, very loud. The Barbanel says, yes, it's the voice of the Bavlim.
I'm going back to the
Rav, right? And talks about how they, you know, were skilled warriors from a young age. People are in anguish; they've lost their shine. Again, enemies or the locust. Yeah, and the Barbanel just says, yeah, well, everyone was afraid of the Babylonians. That's it. They run like mighty men. They climb down the wall like warriors. They march in his line, don't swerve, of course. And again, for the Rimi Balagensi, right, it's pretty easy. These are actual armies, right? For everyone else, it's... So that's the problem, right? Yes, right? So according to him, I mean, it makes sense. You just have to deal with the... Again, the Barbanel says these are the Babylonians, and it literally says, yeah, because they were experts at climbing walls, right, to get into fortified cities. That's what it means, literally. Right, they're really organized. They don't push each other, right? They are, right? So if it's the locust, it's, you know, everyone knows their place, like really regimented soldiers. The Barbanel...
Babylonian stuff.
Right, he basically says, yeah, they were so regimented that if they died, they only, or they ran away, it was right. It was never because they were afraid, right? Like they were never afraid. They had like regiment. They just, you know, would keep going. And if they, right, I mean, basically, right, they would never, right, they were, you know, swerve to get spoils or anything like that. But they rush the city on the walls. They climb up the houses. They enter in the windows like thieves. Right again, the Barber now through each of this right goes through every little one. In what sense do they come in through the windows? He has two different perushim here. The earth quakes before them, the heavens tremble, the sun and the moon and darken, the stars withdraw their shining. Right, and here the right, everyone else is pretty much Pashut, but the Abarbanel says, yeah, like the Jewish people were darkened because of the tragedy. That's the point, right? The darkening here is symbolic. Right, and he thinks that it also indicates a Hester upon him of God. Right, that's what caused this, that God hid himself because of their sins. And Hashem thunders his voice before his army. For his forces are great, he's strong, and they obey his command, for the day of God is great and awesome, and who can endure it? So again, for everyone, yes, God sends his soldiers, the locusts. For the Abarbanel, this goes back to the Chiddush that we find in Tanakh, that you find in, you know, several places in Tanakh, that Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar, is considered God's shliach. Right? That's the point of this, that God is sending him as his messenger to do this job. Right? And now, what is the response? So again, he never indicates a sin, but the response nevertheless is do tshuva. Right? Fast, cry, mourn. The Abarbanel thinks that now we've jumped to Bayit Sheni, because it's saying that even though you didn't do tshuva and I had to destroy the Beit HaMikdash again, you still have to do it. And then a very famous pasuk in Yud Gimel, which is the Kiru Levavchem Va'al. Right, this is the one Chazal make a big deal of. The Kiru Levavchem Va'al Begdechem V'Shuvol Adonai Alechem Ki Chanun Rachum Erech Apayim Rav Chesed Minicham Al Ra'a. Right, and tear your hearts, not your clothes, and turn to God because He is merciful. Invoking here the Yud Gimel Midot. Right, or as the Rimi Balaganti says very nicely, who cares about ripping clothes if the heart isn't broken, right, if the heart doesn't change, right? And God is merciful. Now, the interesting is Nicham, right, he switches it, right, is, right, Nicham Halara, that's not in the original, right? He regrets the bad. Right, that's not in the original, but meaning that God is willing to back down from it. And mi yodea yashuv v'nicham v'shirach rav bracha mincha v'nesach l'anei lechem. Right, and you see, right, again, there's this hesitance that we talked about last week that he's proto-rabbinic. Right? He's not really predicting. He says, who knows, right? Like, right, whoever knows that he's guilty, do tshuva, right? He's not telling you, you sinned. He's like, everybody who knows you sinned, do tshuva and you'll get a bracha. Right, but he's not saying I know who sinned or what they sinned for. He's just saying whoever knows that they sinned, so you have to, right, do tshuva and you will be blessed. Tiku shofar b'tzion kachutzom kiru atzara. I blow the shofar, make a fast, call an assembly. Isfu am kachukahal kibsuz kenim isfu olim v'yon kesham yitzich hatan mechedro v'chala mechupata. Gather everybody, the elders, the children who are nursing the chatan in his, right, in his celebration room, the bride, everybody, right, everybody, even the ketanim here fast, right, even the ketanim here fast, right, when things are that desperate and right? The whole Moshe here says something beautiful. He says, why do we say the bride's chamber? It's not just because happiness turns to sadness, which is what I would have thought shot. He says, no, it's even the most intimate and hidden of places. You have to search even the most intimate of places to find the sin, right? I mean, no one else comes into the bridal chamber, right? You leave the Chatan and Kala alone, give them their privacy and saying, but even in the heart of privacy, you've got to pull it out and figure out what is the sin, which is, I think, a very beautiful addition, right? That it's not just... Now, the Abarbanel, of course, reads it metaphorically, right? That it's Chatan Mechidro is the Sefer Torah, right? The Chatan is the Av Beit Din. The Chatan is the Aron. The Kala Mechubata is the Sefer Torah, meaning, right, this is the Mashal of the fast days that we have in Tanit, right? That you bring this out. And then where do you cry? Bein ha'ulam v'la mizbeach yivku ha'kohanim mishartei Adonai v'yomru chusa Adonai l'mecha v'yititei nachalka l'charpa l'mshol b'am goyim l'ma yomru v'amim ha'yei Eloheihem. Yes, exactly. Right? The Kohanim, right, between, right, the Mizbeach and the Ulam. And they should, right, and then, right, we say, spare it so that people don't have to say, and this is a theme that we have throughout Tanakh, right? We saw it by Moshe Rabbeinu, by the Egel, but we see it throughout Tehillim, we see it in Hazinu, that we turn to God and we say, listen, even if we don't deserve it, why should you save us? Because otherwise your name, there's going to be Chilul Hashem. Right, meaning we don't. Right, that's Moshe's argument. It's right. We don't even deserve it, but you need to save us for your sake. Vayikanei Adonai Yisrael vayechmol olamo, and God will be jealous for His land, or zealous for His land, and have pity on the people. Right, which again, for most people, this is whatever tragedy, and we talked about that two shiurim ago. Whatever timing you think this is for the Abarbanel, this is the Geula latid lavo, that God will eventually. Have mercy. Vayana Adonai vayomer lamo hinini shalech lechem enad dagan vatirosh vayitzar usvatem oto velo teinetchem od cherpa vagoyim. And God answers, I will send you food. Now, and you won't, and oil and wine, and you won't be, right, you won't be derided by the nations. So again, if you think these are literally locusts, makes sense, right? Now I will send you food and it'll be, right, it'll be fine. According to the Abarbanel, it's the land was desolate and was cursed in the time of Galut, and it will, right? Yeah, like, you know, the desert will bloom again or something like that, right? That's what it's talking about. I'll remove the northern one from you and drive it into a barren and desolate land. Its front of the eastern sea is back in the western sea, and the stench will come up, and its bad smell rise where it's done great things. Right, so the Rashi just says, this is the Arbe. But here, Rashi breaks down, and he says, possibly two is maybe this is Ashur. Right, and possibly three is a Yetzer Hara, which is Tzafon Bilvoshal Adam, which is Tzafun, which is hidden in your heart. Right, so now that doesn't mean he doesn't think that the book in general is about actual locusts, but it could be that there's an added mashal level layer. I don't know if he's backtracking on everything he said until in these two prakim. I somehow doubt it. Right, remember just right, like the Arbanel, the Ben Ezra, for example, has no problem. He just says, yeah, Chel Harbeh. What's your problem? It's just the army. Like up to the north. For here, we're being against these very easy because we know that the famous pasuk is Mitzafon Tipatachara, right? All the enemies, Ashur and Babel, come from the north, right? So the north is obviously where it goes, and that's why the Abarbanel says, yes, this is Ashur. It's an undoing of Ashur. It's the bringing back of the Aseret HaShvatim, right? Very simple. And then he says, so what's east and west? Babel is Sonim Mizrachim, right? And Rome is west, right? Northwest, right? So his point is, yes, Ashur is north. That's what they describe. Mitzavon Tibachara. And it's Babel. And the directions are pointing to the different kingdoms. That's what it is. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say for the Babel, it's
yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. So Al Tiria the Magilius Machiki Gdelanayla. So now he turns to the land. Don't be afraid. Because God is doing great things. Now, again, is this about the agriculture of the land or is it the military aspect of the land? Depends on what you think is going on here. Al tiri ba'amotzadai, ki dashuno midbar ki etz nasa for yote nava gefen nanu chilam. The animals shouldn't be afraid because there's going to be pastures for you. The Abarbanel thinks that this is not the Jews, but the animals here are all the nations who are subject to the great kingdoms. Right? Whatever nations, right? It's just like this extended mashal. Everything here is animals. Right? So the animals are just all the other nations who are also subject to the four main powers. Like the other kingdoms, right? Meaning these world superpowers, they didn't just, right? Ashur didn't just oppress the Jews. It oppressed us and oppressed, right? Ammon and Moab and whatever, right? It's saying that all those nations will eventually be freed from these domineering, right? Superpowers. You know, Ashurbanipal and whatever, like Ashur, you know, who said they were king of the world, people like that. And then the children of Jews should be happy because you'll get your Reu Malkosh. Now, of course, if you know Dvarim, you know from the second parak of Shema that when do we get your Reu Malkosh, the first and the last rain, when we keep the Torah. So that, right, that's what he's saying, is that Ed HaMoreh, what's the Moreh? So Rashi says, if you listen to the Morim, to the Nevi'im, then you'll get rain because you are listening to God. The reward for listening to God in Vahayim Shamoa is specifically rain. Right? Rain is evidence of right, that God is, right? That God's eyes are on Eretz Yisrael. Rain is the way that he expresses that God is with us. Here, the Abarbanel assumes that this is already Mashiach, that the Moreh is the ultimate teacher of truth. What? No, it's Mashiach. He says, "Umalu agronot bar veshikoi give him teresh v'yitzar, and the threshing bowls will be full of wheat. The vats will overflow with wine, and oil." V'shilamti lachem nashonem asher achal arba yalak v'chasel v'gazam v'chiliyagadol asher shilachti v'chem, and I'll restore, as it were, all those years that the locusts ate. Right, I'll undo all the pain, right? Because the Radak knows it happened over years. Right? And now, finally, the Radak says, ah, maybe this is a mashal, right? Yeah. Based on Targum Yonatan. She nevuati dalim aroshech gave, right? So now he says, maybe, at least this part is a mashal. And obviously, for the Barbanel, this is very easy. Is that at the end of the Galut, you're going to come back, right? And basically, right, undo the pain of the galut. V'achaltam achol v'savo v'ilaltam v'sher adonai aleichem sh'ari samachem lafli v'levoshu ami lo'olam, and you'll have plenty to eat, be satisfied, you'll praise God who's done miracles with you, and you'll never again be ashamed. The Barbanel just says, yeah, the way you are in galut, I mean, fundamentally, you're having your dignity back, is definitional to gula. V'datem v'kerev Yisrael v'ani adonai aleichem in od v'levoshu ami lo'olam, and you'll know that I am amongst the people, right, and there's no one else, and my people will never be disappointed. Again, Rikara now breaks down and says, at least Khan mitnabel et lovo, right? Meaning at the end, right? So the truth is that it might be both, right? It might be that there is an integration of the metaphorical and the literal levels, right? Because you see that as much as Rashi ben Ezra, right, Rikara, Radak held out and said it's literal, it's literal, it's literal, towards the end it starts so messy, it sounds so messianic, they say, okay, this is also a mashal or also a mashal. Where for the Barbanel, this proves his point, right? Which is that this is all about, right? All about the Geula. And then, of course, he goes through the exact right ones and why this is not repetitive and which of the Galiot it's talking about. But the general direction for him, right, makes a lot of sense. Yeah, what are we saying? Okay, fine. So let us finish that Perek Bet, and then we'll move to Perek Gimel and Dal, which is the second unit of this book.